There's a sefer, Kaba Yosher, written by Mitzvi Hirsch Kardenlover. He was the Rabbi of Frankfurt at the end of the 1600s, meaning the 1700s. With the son of Rom Shmuel Kardenlover, who was the Rabbi of Frankfurt before that, who wrote the sefer Kosh Yeshuas, which I think nowadays probably doesn't know, nobody knows that it exists. The very kosher sefer in Shas. So Mitzvi Hirsch Kardenlover wrote a sefer called Kaba Yosher. It has 102 parakim from after Kuf Beis. Kaba Yosher, Yosher is from the name Hirsch. And he wrote this sefer about the different yanim of Musar, etc. So in the Perek Tzadi Zayin, he talks about Tainas Esther. So this is going to say Shmuz of Tainas Esther, but telling you after the end of Tainas Esther, this is what you should have done during the day. It's a little bit late, so I'm going to tell you beforehand how you're supposed to use the day. Why do we fast on Yud Gimel? What's the fast on Yud Gimel? What is this about? It's called Tanis Esther. What does it do with Tanis Esther? The Tanis of Esther, which you have in the Megillah, took place in Nisan. They did fast B'Shas the Mechama. So when Shadas were fasting based on the way the fact that they fasted at the time of the Muhammad, the Chayes was fighting against the Sunim. Why is it called Tainas Esther? Not clear why it's called Tainas Esther at that point in time. What exactly Shadas? But that's the Pshat. There's a concept of a Tainas beforehand. So he says that the Mor says that Yud Gimel was Makilah LeKolhu. It was a time when Klai Yisrael came together. So Zechavim Vdei Kodesh Baruch Hu Shemisasim HaYechidim L'Socha Yoris Rebam Hadras Melech Shikolim Lerma Slichus B'Kol. Klai Yisrael comes together to say these Slichus. That's a special thing with Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'ayin Etfilazu V'hei Memarim Rachamim G'doylim P'maya Shamaya. It creates a tremendous source of Rachamim and Shemayim. Then he says there's a reason with Tanis Esther which the Magid, the Magid Mishorim told the Beis Yosef. So Beis Yosef has the sefer called Magid Mishorim, where he had a Magid from Shemayim, he had a Malach from Shemayim, which taught him Sodas HaTorah. So Teichat Dvarim, he says interesting things. So the Magid says that the Rishim clears about Klal Yisrael to make sure that they are do tzedek, they do the right thing. Since on Yudalad, Klal Yisrael is Smechim, Misosim, Atoikav Anes, and we know there's a concept of Chayba, Inish Lubisur and Bepuria. And Yei Yishlochush, tells us the fast beforehand. Because the Tainus is schooled, he knows the Tainus min hachet. So the Tainus beforehand will be a schooler to protect Klal Yisrael from the chet term on Purim. So one of the slichas we say on the Tainas Esther is Misemispor. That's the name of the. That's how it starts. So in the second to last line, Mod Tarbo Lona Mechila Shema Tefila B'Haver Tifla. You should hear a tefila and remove the tifla, the dirtiness which is inside of us. So it says when a person says those words, the person should have in mind. Christian have a mind that he's not going to do that. He should have siyata neshmaya, not to do anything wrong on Purim due to his achila shtia and simcha. So therefore, when he said the slichas tatunim bekanufia, ma'ur the schus of Mordechai be'Esther. This is Mordechai Yodesh Kol Shirosa. He knew about the various Kleisel had done, the Klippus of Tuma, etc., etc., etc. This is the Magid talking about. So it has to be Kabbalistic a little bit. So he talks about the concept of the. Now then he says like this, that Birshan Melech Esther Eish Shavir HaZov, and the Birshan created, like the Midrashim said, the Birshan said to Malach that Achashverosh should reach out to Esther. He did not want to reach out to Esther to save her, but the Birshan saved her. That's not only for Esther. But any person who joins with Esther, Tanatha, Das Yisrael, which Rishim Megala, Vesevim Sar Hagolus, Man Karbara Kosh Baruch, Miskamer Miskanshim, Mabadi Knesius, which is the Chatzar HaMelech, Malka Shalaylam, and through the Emirs of Sichus, Satilus, Olam Ermes, Mordechai Tzadik, Master Malka, they join us together that the Roshim should be Moshet Hishar Ben Azov to us. When Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal used to go to Toronto for vacation to get away for a few days, he had his second wife had children there. He had stepchildren there in Toronto. So somebody when he was there in Toronto, somebody came over to Rabbi Yaakov. He says, "Ask Rabbi Yaakov, how do you know that you can ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for anything from a Kadosh Baruch Hu over a cup of Bramfen, over a cup of whiskey? You make a lachaim, you can be mavakish everything from a Kadosh Baruch Hu." So that's a yes to Rabbi Yaakov. He says, it says in the Megillah, there's a Medrash that says, every time it says Melech in the Megillah, it's referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says, whatever you ask for will be done. You're drinking the wine, you're drinking the whiskey, you can ask whatever you want. So Rabbi Yaakov said back in his inimitable way, he says, if the Melech is referring to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Mishnah Yain is referring to Yena Shal Teira, referring to the wine of Torah. That's the wine that it's referring to. Right? So Klai Yisrael comes together for Tvila. At that point in time, it's a tremendous thing. But the last point that he says, what I want to share with you, is he says, when we come together on that day, he should find time for himself on that day. He should take a pitoch of beis, which is on the sechel al yel hashachar, because also it's referring to Esther. Then racha yishba sichel lifnei kadosh baruch hu miyavakish b'kashosa den daven for kadosh baruch hu, whatever you're asking. Viyaskur skus mordechai v'Esther asher b'skusa miyarsa lai kadosh baruch hu yishba l'sharei rachamim uskub al tfilosa b'rotsu. So he says, let's take a pitoch of beis. Pitoch of beis, Chazal, the more darshans, it's referring to, this is the kapitel of Esther. Then Esther said these psukim. So I just want to touch on the kapitel of beis a little bit. So kapitel of beis, Lamaseach ala yelis ha-shachar is Mila David. So it's ala yelis ha-shachar. What's a yelis ha-shachar? Yelis ha-shachar is this, there's the star which comes out right before the alois ha-shachar. That's a siman that the shachar is coming. It's still not the morning. It's still dark. And because I'll say that the dark that point is the darkest time of the night. But at that moment of the darkest time of the night, there's this sign of hope. There's this yelos hashachar. And that's the yelos hashachar that we focus on. We know that even in the darkest time, there's going to be a ray of hope. So it's sif kol alayla. She says, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Hazavtoni, Rosh Hashanah, did you leave me? So Chazal says, referring to when she was going into Achashverosh. So there was, she was Zechut to the Ruch HaKadosh. She has the Shekhinah going with her, going into Achashverosh. And then when they got to the Chatzar HaMelech, and there was Slumim there, there was a Barazor there, the Shekhinah left. She says, Kaili, Kaili, Lama Hazavtoni. The Balmud says, if you look at the Kapitel, Kapitel is, like, is 32 psukim long. Says you can divide the kapitel really into two sections, and the first section is also divided into two sections. It says from the beginning of the kapitel till pasuk through pasuk Yud-Zayin is talking about the difficult matzav that a person finds himself in. That Klai Yisrael, we call out, I don't find you responding to me. I scream out, and you're not responding to me. So the obvious relied on you, and they got, but they laugh at me. Right? So they say, you're not getting it. So that's the first half of the process. From Yud Zayin till the end of the kapitel is the Yel HaShachar, which means that light, of that ray of hope is starting. After the darkness, and we see it's dark and it's not being successful, there's this ray of hope. Until we have Sukkim, which the halachas of how to say the key of how we're supposed to say Berachas Hagomel, I learned from over here. Yir Hashem Halalu Kozar Yaakov Kabduhu V'Gurim Menu Kozar Yisrael. So we have to say it amongst the 10 people. There has to be Yirei Hashem over there. There has to be Tzvich Hachom over there. We learn these halachas, the Berachos Hagomel, from the kapitel. So the end of the kapitel talks about that the Bershom is responding and saving us. And so the first half of the kapitel is divided into two parts. The first one is she's bemoaning the Hastar's Ponim, the Hastar Ponim. And the second half is the Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, that we should be saved. She starts with the phrase, Keli Keli Lama Zabtani. So Chazal said that it's talking about a specific incident. We've all had that feeling sometimes. That we so much want to be successful. We so much want to get out of our sorrow. Whatever the issue is that we're dealing with, we feel Kadosh Baruch Hu is not responding. But she says it in a nusach of Loma Azavtani. Loma Azavtani means she felt the Shekhinah. She felt the presence. And then from that vantage point of feeling the presence, she feels it's gone. She didn't say, I never felt it. She didn't say that, you know, you haven't been there. She knows there's so much tov in a person's life that a person benefits from. And we tend to I'm not sure I'd say it's a human trait. I'm sure it's a yeshivish trait. We kretch. They learn slowly now as they kretch it. They learn slowly, but that's not what I mean. They kretch. I ask, how's it? I very rarely get to go, wow, it's so much great, it's Kabbalah, it's like, oh, I get to hear the, I love Purim. I really love Purim. They, you know, guys come in the Purim, you know, it's just like, Rebbe, I want to be a tzaddik, you know. It's always what I want to be. I never got someone to say, Rebbe, my life is so good. I want to just pour out her daughter, Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like the you get drunk, that's what comes out. Comes out as the kvetch. I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. I want to be this. I want to be that. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. The society is like everybody. The thing nowadays is that you're a victim. Like everybody's, there's a victim. You know, fight. Who's the biggest victim? You know, everybody's like not getting what they want. You know. And now the privileged people are victims because they're taking advantage of it. Everybody has their shingle tar wider victim. Like, you know, we stop catching. We have extraordinary lives. We take it for granted. Because that's, I once saw an article trying to describe in the Vardak to somebody. It's written by Rechem Shapiro in the Jewish Observer, Olav HaShalom. So, trying to describe, somebody walked into the Vardak Yeshiva. Somebody walks over to him. The poverty in the Yeshiva was extraordinary. And the joke goes, it wasn't a joke, it was a true story, that, you know, the workman had to go on a date. So in the front of the yeshiva, in the front closet, there were three nice suits that the bachim would take their turns using the suits when they went on a date. So a girl went, the bachim came on the date. On the date, you know, the button fell off, and she noticed it after the bachim left. So she found the button on the floor, so she saved it. Next bachim came, a different bachim came. She sewed it back on for him, like, you know, because She knew that that's what it's going to be. Like, you know, it's the same suit. You know, it's clearly they're wearing the same suits, you know. After a while, you sort of pick it up. It looks exactly the same. Like, you know, then they have the same supplier, right? But then it was the same suit. She got it, right? So these Bachar have nothing. And the Bachar, this fellow walks in, the guest walks in, and the Bachar walks over to him and he says, did you ever think, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you have 10 fingers? You have 10 fingers. It's extraordinary. He's going on and on, 10 fingers, 10 fingers. He says, so why don't you? He says, because everybody else also has 10 fingers. So your main thing is, thank Kadosh Baruch Hu, only for things that you're better than everybody else. The goal is you should be better than everybody else. It's like in Musa Shmuz about the Gaiva being better than everybody else. That's what you thank for. And everybody else you don't thank for. But if 10 fingers, that does nish. Like, till we notice that something's missing, we don't really understand what it means to have a normal life. My wife and I went to this last Shabbos. We went to a retreat, Shabbaton, for a single young women. Speak workshops, etc. So after one of the panels, the rabbi panels, the young woman wanted to know is when she's going to work, is she doing a mitzvah? So the lamas behind the shaila is that a person's working when they're married, they're supporting their family. That's clearly a mitzvah. They're helping support their family. It's taking care of your family. The mechuvim behind that is Gemara Ksubas. I think on those terms, Gemara Ksubas says that Oysa Staka B'chol Eis. Who is the person? The pasuk says Oysa Staka B'chol Eis. A person is doing Staka every moment. Where it says who is that that does Staka every moment? That's a person. It's a person who Zon Umefarnes Banav Bnei Beis. A person who supports his family. That's a Ma'aseh of Staka B'chol Eis. So nowadays that applies not only to the men, it applies to the women. But she's not married. She's living at home. She hasn't. So what's she accomplishing by going to work? So she's putting money away in savings for the time, etc. So one of the people on the panel basically gave that answer, and that was like, you know, afterwards she came over to me. She wants to continue this conversation. Like, it doesn't really, must be like, you know, that what I'm doing, spending, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours a day doing is valuable because it's one day I'm going to use it in the future. It's not must be. So I said to her, there's a pasuk said that human beings are created to work. The human being needs to feel productive and have purpose. Because I'll talk about the person who can be Shuvah Shalom. Person who Isaac and Yishuv Shalom, he's a positive contributor to society. That is the basic need of man. I said, imagine like this. Imagine there was a program for people which are limited in their abilities. And somebody created a program to train them that they could get productive jobs. What would you say about that? Is that considered a chesed that they're doing? And would you consider it stalker to support that? She said, yeah. I said, why? Because taking a person who's not functional, because part of function is the ability to be able to be productive in society, and making them productive is an extraordinary thing. You give a person back their dignity, give a person back their purpose, their value, etc. So why is it schlecht by you that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was nice enough to you that he didn't make you go through that? He gave you the ability to be normal and be able to do that without having to go through a potential program? For sure, it's an extraordinary thing that we should be able to function like human beings and be productive. We don't think like that. We say Pekech Yibrim every morning. So most of us don't stop and think what it would be like not to have the ability to see. I think I mentioned to you that I went through, I had cataract surgery. In 1997, I had cataract surgery in both of my eyes. So cataracts, they take the lens and they make it less clear, less clear, less clear. So it was getting worse and worse over a period of time. And so it's hard to see. So my house was full of like lights to help me be able to see enough. So they did, they do surgery, they do one eye, they do both eyes, and then they, after they recover, they do the second eye because it's, surgery can go wrong, it's happened, sadly. So you don't want to do both eyes and mess it up totally, then the person's blind. So you have a patch on, and they take off the patch, and I walk into the yeshiva, and I go into the bathroom, and tells the yeshiva, I walk into the bathroom. So the tiles in the yeshiva, the tiles on the wall are white tiles. And I start staring at the white tiles. Because of the cloudiness of the lens, I've forgotten what white looks like. I realized then what I've been seeing, what I perceived as white, was really a grayish, yellowish color. And I'm seeing bright white. And I'm so taken by it, I just was standing there staring at the tiles on the wall of the bathroom. I couldn't take my eyes off of the beauty of the color white. It was so beautiful to see white again. And of course, I'm standing there, you know, I'm Rebbe and Yeshiva ready, and I'm standing there staring at the tiles, and there's people walking by like, when I try to figure out what he's doing, you know, like these social experiments, and you stand there and go, everybody looks up, you know, like, you know, see what's going on, you know. So everybody's like busy trying to figure out what is he doing. I could not take my eyes off the beauty of the color white. I walk out of the bathroom, and I said, Pekechi, remember that morning, with such a feeling of course, the time to Kodesh Baruch Hu, my eyes were opened. And I said to myself, I'm going to say that this bracha for the rest of my life was gavaldik kavana. Aha, right, yeshker, right. How long did it last? I don't know how long it lasted, but it didn't last that long. But occasionally I played through my head that thought process. I was able to understand what it means not to be able to see. I kept pushing up the surgery because it's very scary to have the surgery. It's very scary to have the idea that somebody's going to cut into your eye and take out the lens and not have your retina fall apart while it's happening, which that's the danger. And put in this fake lens in between it instead, and said, the whole thing is like, sounds like I'm nervous. You're wide awake without any anesthesia, except for local. You're totally awake while it's happening, right? So I'm in this room, and like, they're doing this thing to me, like, it's just the one thing, is don't sneeze, he says to me. Okay, I got that. So, and I kept pushing it off because I was scared. Because, you know, they this whole thing, you have to sign this paper beforehand in case you go blind because, of, you know, you're not going to take us to court, etc. Like, oh, great, you know. Okay. I was driving from the yeshiva I used to go to Cleveland Heights to say a shiur. So at nighttime, I was still able to see because the pupil gets very large. So I was able to see around the cloudiness, which is in the middle of the lens. Baruch Hashem. I'm driving on a two-lane road, back roads. I take a different, not the main route I usually take. I went a quicker route, took one of these back roads, two lanes, very little light. Nighttime driving. And a car comes at me with its high beams on. And it hits straight into my eyes. So what happens when the bright light hits in your eyes? Your pupil, the pupil contracts. The iris contracts. So now, I'm not seeing around the cloudiness. All I'm seeing is cloudiness. So I see no road, no car, nothing but bright light coming through my lens. That's what convinced me I need to get to surgery. I cannot. I have to give up night driving. I'm driving a car 35 miles an hour down a road. I cannot see anything. A little bit scary. And I was able to get my eyesight back. I was a Rebbe that year. After I had the surgery, I told the boys, says, I wanted to tell you, by the way, a little late to tell you, by the way, but I couldn't see what was happening in the back of the shiur room until now. But now I can. So I told them that afterwards. You don't tell them beforehand. They don't go, okay. So I couldn't see the back of the shiur room. You know, I had no idea what was going on in the back of the shiur room. I used to walk around, I used to say shiur, walking around the shiur room because of that. I didn't stand still because it wasn't a good idea to stand. I couldn't see. I didn't have control. It was 10th grade. I didn't have control of the back of the room. You know, I don't know what they were doing over there. She says, Lomas of Tani, I have so much good in my life, and now at this moment when I need you, I feel like I've lost you. This is a woman, she lost her parents. She's raised by Mordechai. According to Chazal, she married Mordechai. She's taken away from her husband. So he's stuck in the palace with this guy. Now, later on, so when she davens, Rosh should answer her. So she davens, and the Chazal said like that, you know, that the Russian faulted her on this. Hatzila mecherav nafshi miyad kelav kilosi. This dog over here that I'm married to. So Chazal said that she realized that was in, you can't talk about the Melech like that. She called him an Aryeh in the next pasuk. But her real feeling about Achashverosh was, I'm living with a dog. So she finally had found happiness in her life. She's living, she has no father, no mother, she found happiness, she got married to one of the Adorah, and now she's stuck with Achashverosh. That's not the problem. She's good with that. She still has a lot of good in her life. But now, at the moment that she's going into Achashverosh to daven for Klal Yisrael, why'd you leave me now? Objectively, if you make, you know, you look at her life, it wasn't the happiest approach. Because I'll say, yes, she's not great, just saw you, so whatever that means, because she was scared of being taken to Achashverosh, because that was her natural complexion. I mean, she had jaundice. I don't know how you have your modern scholars describing, you know, what exactly happened to her. There was a deficiency in her diet or something of that sort. You know, I don't know, whatever they could come up with. She didn't fetch. She says, I know, Rosh, you've been with me every single second of my life through all my difficulties. I have no doubt about that. But now, this moment, now you leave me? I need you so much. It's a school of the Seder's Kapitel. I think part of the school of the Seder's Kapitel is it's a tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu from a depth of darkness. But it's not the darkness of saying we never had good. It's not the darkness of saying we don't appreciate the good that we have. It's we have good, we appreciate the good. It's extraordinary in our lives how much good we have. And there's one thing right now which I need very much, and please help me with that as well. And that one thing happens to be quite dark. The danger that she's in a moment of danger. We daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael in a matzav of danger. Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is a matzav of danger. Right? The soldiers are in danger. The hostages are in danger. I can't wrap my head around the idea that a person has not seen the light of day for over 150 days. The Chenu Kol Beis Yisrael, you should bring them Mefela La'ura, Mamash Kepshuta Shukamashmo. They haven't seen the light of day for over 150 days. They're sitting in these tunnels, malnourished. Any moment they can be beaten up, and who knows what's going to happen to them. And they're sitting there with going out of the, I mean, the Pashim go out of their mind. When is this going to end? The wonderful people who started this whole thing and said, we want to do this again. It was so much fun. Let's do it again and again and again. So we kill every single Jew in Israel, and then we'll get the rest of the Jews in the whole world. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. In America, the world, Europe, there was an event, I wasn't here, but apparently they called the police by Shomrei last Shabbos. There was pro-Palestinian car, van, taking pictures, taking videos of the shul. What their plans are, I don't know. Right? But they came in, you know, scouting out the shul. We're not immune. It's a zman of tefillah. It's a zman of tefillah. Mordechai and Esther Klaisa was answered. But it's not a zman of not recognizing all the Torah that we have. Purim and Tanis Esther go together. Purim is the day when the person realizes how much Torah he has when it comes to Baruch Hu. He feels simcha in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that while knowing that we need a Yeshua. And the tefillahs of Tanis Esther and the tefillahs of Purim, Purim itself is a, the Baalik Machshava say called Pesha Yad Noistim Loi, it's referring to davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim. Those tefillahs are powerful tefillahs, but it never comes at the expense of recognizing how much we have. From the vantage point of the curse itself, do we have the Kodesh Baruch Hu, how much he's given us? From that vantage point, we ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's a Yeshua which we really need. And you've given us so much, please give us this as well.